Hallelujah. Well, we are in our January part four of our series, Restoration. And today we're going to be talking about words that agree with God. Words that agree with God. Why is that important? How many words do we actually say that may not really be in agreement with God? You know, Jesus said you can fall on this rock and be broken, or it'll fall on you and you'll be smashed to smithereens. So it's good to be broken on the rock. Let your soul just be, get rid of all of the negativity. Get rid of all of the hurt, all of the past experience. Put the word of God in there and let it become the rock of your salvation. So turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Hey, little Luke. Those of you who remember the real McCoys. Wow, that's my age kicking into gear, huh? Walter Brennan. Yeah, little Luke. You know, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. And when we look into the Word, we are looking into the never-changing, always faithful heart of the living God. You're really looking into the unchangeable heart of God. He has fixed His love upon you. Fixed His love. This is what we're looking at when we look into the Word of God. So the greatest act of love that was ever demonstrated was when Jesus went to that cross and paid our debt, took all of our sin upon Himself, absorbed it, and for the next 3 days and nights, He knew what hell was all about. And that's why He does everything He can to make His truth more simple for people to understand so that they are delivered from that awful place. Kenneth Hagin went there. When he was 16 years old, he actually died 3 times in one night, left his body and went to hell. He saw the cliffs of the caverns of the damned. He saw the pain. So he said, what do the gates of hell look like? He couldn't describe them because there's nothing really here that we can you can say, well, what is wood? Well, wood is made of a tree. What's a tree? If you've never seen a tree, you can't really describe anything. You cannot describe the horrors of hell. They are indescribable to you. There's no way you can describe it. But Jesus went there for you. Yeah, He had a plan. He knew it. But still, I mean, if you could see yourself thrown overboard out of a ship, going down deep, deep, deep into the dark waters, watching all the light disappear in deep, deep waters, feel yourself sinking down and there's no way up. That's a helpless feeling. And meanwhile, you know all the time that you had that choice to just receive Jesus. He went there for you. He experienced all of that because He loves you. When you're looking into the Word of God, you're looking into the greatest love that's known to mankind. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that's big. If you can't see that, then you're not in this room. You've gone home. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Whatever we treasure, whatever we admire, whatever our eyes are filled, ears are filled, is going to eventually come into our heart. And when our hearts are full, it's abundant. That word abundant means to have a surplus of. So what we focus on, what we meditate on, is accumulating in our heart until our heart is full. And when our heart is full and abundant, sooner or later it's going to come out of our mouth in the form of words. Evil or good. Whatever you've been meditating on will eventually come out of your mouth. And Jesus said, when you have an abundance in your heart, you believe it in your heart, speak it with your mouth, you'll have what you say. And that's why it's important that we meditate on that which is good. Meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God is the good word. The word of the devil is worry, fear, doubt, unbelief. Meditate on those things and you will be speaking unbelief. If God is love, then if we meditate on the Word of God and his heart is, God is love, so we'll be speaking words of love. If our heart is full of faith, we'll be speaking words of faith. What does faith do? Faith moves mountains and calms the sea. Faith brings healing and victory. Amen. If our heart is filled with the peace of God, we'll have words of peace. What does peace do? It settles all strife. It quiets it. If our heart is filled with hope, we'll be speaking words of hope. We'll be speaking the things that can be. That's what faith does. Hope does. Hope sees what can be, and faith works with your hope to make it to be or not to be. To be. Faith takes what hope sees and makes it real. Amen? Now, right over there on the other hand, if your heart is filled with anger, bitterness, hatred, and strife, that's the words that you'll be speaking. And the more you speak those words, the bigger the harvest comes that begins to fill you up again and again with your own anger, hatred, bitterness, strife. And strife just has no end. So this morning we're talking about words that agree with God. Why is that important? Well, Amos chapter 3, verse 3 is a very, very famous verse. It says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Kind of a rhetorical question, because obviously the answer is no, they can't. They can't walk together if they're not agreed. Could Abraham walk with Lot? They had to separate. Could Isaac walk together with Ishmael? No, there was total disagreement there. Could Jacob and Esau walk together? No, they couldn't, because there was no agreement there. Paul, in the New Testament, warned the Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Why? Because there's no fellowship there. He said, does righteousness have fellowship with unrighteousness? Does light have communion with darkness? And does Christ have anything in agreement or concord with the devil? And the answer is no. So if we're meditating on the words of God, we can walk with God. We're in agreement with God. Not just meditate on them, but do them. That's what God told Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that's written therein. It's not just knowing the word. It's not just memorizing the word. It's doing what the word says to do. Then you're in agreement with God. When our words form a continual agreement with God's word, we're empowered. Amen. There was one amen there. That's good. Thanks. But it's true. When you're focused on God's word, when your meditation is on God's word, when you start speaking God's word, you are empowered. Your body can feel like, oh my God, I can't do this. Two Sundays ago. I went home and I was out on the, and I was going from one part of the deck to the other, and there's these steps that go down. And my feet went right out from under me, hit the lower back part of my back, right on the corner of that step. And I was in agony. I thought, when I sneezed the next morning, Lori came down, running down, what's the matter? I said, oh! I could not believe the pain. It was as close to anything fatal that I had ever experienced. Just sneezing. That's the kind of pain. But God's good. If you stay focused on God's word of healing and who he is in your mortal body, oh, he will bring healing. I thought I broke a kidney. I really thought that kidney was smashed in or something or cut, burst. That's the kind of pain it was. And so just to check it out, make sure, I went to the doctor and he said, no, you didn't burst a kidney here. So you're going to be sore for a while. I said, I'm done with that. He's a Muslim, this doctor. Is he Muslim? And they don't know too much about healing, and that's unfortunate. We got to teach them. We got to be who Jesus is in the world, because you might be the only Bible people will ever read. Living example. Okay, so let me say this. When our words form a continual flow of agreement with God's words, it empowers us. When our words are contrary to God's words, we'll have problem. And the temptation for every believer is to blend in, to go along, to get along, to not be so sharp. And when they say, do you really believe that? I mean, come on, you're a bigot. Are you saying that everybody who's that way is going to go to hell? Well, Don't lose your edge. What does the Bible say? That's what you say. What does the Bible say? This is not my opinion. This is eternal truth that we're talking about. This is spiritual law. And if somebody's heading over a cliff, I'm going to tell them that they're heading the wrong way so that they'll be safer. Don't lose your edge, because when you start losing your edge, pretty soon your mind starts wandering. And you're not walking in the love of God. You're not loving yourself. You're not loving others. And pretty soon, you're powerless. It's a little at a time. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We talked about this the other night. Was it Bible study? The big foxes, they go after the grape. All those grapes up there. It's the little foxes that go after the roots. And it's those times when you're tempted to just compromise just a little bit. Blend in. Go along to get along. That you lose your edge. And guess what happens? The devil says, oh, thank you, I'll take that. A little bit of anointing here, take that. A little bit of truth, take that. Healing, no, yeah. And you start to give it up to him, because he needs your cooperation to steal anything from you. He can't just come along and rip you off. He presents, like a salesman makes a presentation. You don't have to buy it. He's making a presentation. But the temptation is to agree. That's a temptation. You've got to make God your first and final authority is the word of God. There is no other truth. Any other truth depletes you of the real truth. See, we're really getting along here today, aren't we? But we all desire to walk in that sharp edge, that authority of the believer. And you've got to have that sharp edge if you're going to walk in that authority. Because without that sharp edge, you're going to hedge on your authority too. You won't believe that you really have that authority in such situations. And God says, declare my word. Where? What word? See, you're out there somewhere. You're agreeing with the word, with the world, and you're not speaking the word of God. You need to renew your mind every minute, every day, just speaking the word of God. You see something when you're driving. What scripture is coming to you? This is meditation on the Bible, meditation on the word of God. And if the word of God is authority, you are in authority. Let me make this statement before I really get into this. Because the authority that believers have is massive. But the degree of authority that we are able to walk in is in direct proportion to the amount to our willingness to submit to authority. You are only able to walk in the amount of authority that you are willing to submit to. The Roman centurion showed us that. That's why Jesus said, man, that's faith. That's faith talking. The reason he's submitted to, he has that authority, is he's submitted to the authority above him. And if you're submitted to this, you're submitted to its author, the Holy Spirit. If you're submitted to this, you are submitted to the eternal word of God who came and died for you and rose from the dead, and there is nothing you can't do. If you're submitted to this, you are submitted to the eternal Father. And in his authority, you will walk through life. When you enter a room, the devil will know it. And then he'll try to get you to agree with him. This is who we are. This is the fight, the battle that we're in as Christians. Accept it. The word of God. We said that this morning. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. Are you going to take up and run with it? The word of God is your best friend. It is the best friend you ever had. It will never lie to you. It cannot lie to you. It will always liberate you. It will always bring you love. It'll always bring you acceptance and redemption and forgiveness. It'll always bring you joy, and joy is strength. It'll always bring you peace to calm the storms of life and to still the chaos. And the world will say, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and sea obey him. You know, that honors Jesus when the world starts saying that about you. Who is this who can bear up under this kind of trial and have such joy? That is a powerful witness. Okay. I'll get into something else here and put it on the record too. If you are meditating on politics, conspiracy theories, you will be filled with suspicion, doubt, strife, unbelief, bitterness, and anger, and you will end up isolated and alone. Wasn't any amens on that? Politics can't save anything anyways. All politicians do is exacerbate the problems that already exist. And if the problems that exist aren't enough, they'll come up with more problems and put it on top of that. It's what they do. The United Nations was formed, and all it did was exacerbate problems. It didn't solve anything. It didn't bring any peace to the nations. It just brought divisions, and everybody brought their own opinion with them, and there was total disagreement, and everybody went home. That's all it did. It's a total waste of time, effort, and millions and billions of dollars. But if you meditate on those things, if those things become important to you, habitual to you, they get you into bondage, and you are dependent on who wins an election instead of the God of heaven and the God of your salvation. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? They can't. And I'm telling you something, Washington is just a manifestation of the Babylonian system right now. Paul told Timothy this. No man entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. God's chosen you for such a time as this, in this hour. You have been birthed into this world for a purpose and a plan in this hour. You need to understand that. And no man entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Why? So that he can please the one who called him to be a soldier in his army. We used to sing that song. God's got an army. He's marching through this land. Salvation is their song and healing's in their hand. With everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in that army, I've got a part. Love that. Don't get entangled. And that word is entangled, man. Once you get into politics and start watching all the news media, the social media, Twitter, Facebook, that is all out there under the god of this world. It is run by the spirit of Antichrist. And if you spend all your time on those things, you are going to be influenced by that spirit. Your faith will get weak. You won't be walking in love, and your hope will dwindle. And here comes the devil, stealing, killing, destroy. Steal that word out of your heart. Kill your hope. Kill your faith, and destroy your testimony. Destroy a testimony. This is serious stuff. Look at 1 John. Chapter 4 and verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. So, who are you listening to? Are you listening to all the opinions on Facebook? Getting into all the politics on Facebook and Twitter? Are you letting that in your heart? Are you letting it occupy your mind? Are you letting it subvert the word of God and the anointing in your life? Look, this is where we're getting ready for a period of restoration, and we've got to be ready. We've got to know what the authority is, how to receive from that authority, how to walk in that authority, and how to walk in the power of it. And if we're always in QAnon, oh dear. Somebody just got offended. You got to let go of that. Offense will bleach the anointing right out of you. It's the word of God. You know, it doesn't say QAnon is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Does it? Facebook is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Twitter! Oh, those antichrists. They want to shut you up. They want to shut you down and walk all over you. You're not allowed to speak as far as they're concerned. You don't have an opinion that matters. I'll tell you something. You have a voice in heaven. You have God's ear. You have God's word in your heart. You have been filled with his spirit. You have been transformed and recreated into the family of God as a new creation in Christ. There is nothing that they have that can do you any good whatsoever that God can't give you. He can show you what you need. I got a text from somebody. He said, bro, you need to pray about this and tell the church that they need to stock up on food for 2 weeks. Bro. I don't receive my direction that way. I receive it from him. And if he didn't put that on my heart through a dream, a realization, whatever, an unction, an intuition that I know that comes from God, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because that information is not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord, and the Holy Spirit is whom I follow. You going to let go of that? You going to play with that? It's like a mom just saying, get your hands off of that. The Holy Spirit is like a mom. You don't want to feel the stern side of the Holy Ghost. Ananias and Sapphira did that. you don't want to. That's because they were pretending to be someone that they weren't. Serious stuff. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. You know, there are two words that open up the Bible to us. All of its promises, all of its blessings, all of its empowerments, and the way the kingdom of God operates. Those two words are life and death. Two words that open up the Bible to us, that it becomes a way to us, is life and death. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Is this God speaking to you?
Yes.
Okay. What's it saying? It says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruits thereof. Amen? More importantly, what's your response to this? Notice where the power is. Is the power in life and death? No, it's not in life and death. Death and life are spiritual forces, but those spiritual forces are subservient and answerable to the power of your tongue and my tongue. That's where the authority is. It's in what we say. Jesus right now is at the right hand of the Father as the high priest and apostle of what we say, of our confession of faith. Too many people are repeating what they see on Facebook, repeating what they see in QAnon, repeating what they see in the news media, repeating what they see on social media, repeating. That's the narrative of the world. They that hear the word, they're of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. And the world hears them. We don't hear them. We don't give them place because we are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Say, this is getting to be a real narrow path. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, and the reason is because in that narrow path, there is total liberty. Total freedom. Jesus has called us to freedom, not to bondage. He's come to deliver us from all that freedom that they think they had, just leading to bondage, leading them with a ring in their nose. The devil is leading them about by his own will, he told Timothy. Where's the power? It's in your tongue. You can speak death or you can speak life. Whatever our heart is filled with in abundance will eventually come out of our mouth. And what comes out of our mouth, God accepts that and acknowledges that as our will. He will never violate your will. That's what Satan does. He tries to manage your will. He will subvert your will. He will try to conquer your will. God will never do that. He'll accept what you say out of the abundance of your heart, faith-filled words. He will accept that as your will, and he will never violate it. In fact, he will protect your right to make choices, your right to decide, your right to exercise your free will right up into and through eternity. It's big. You getting anything out of this, or have you gone home? Okay. Let me bring this to a close. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 26. It says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Does that talk to you? Thinking religious thoughts or maintaining a religious image is not walking with God. Walking with God involves applying his word, believing it, receiving it, and doing it. If you don't bridle your tongue with God's words, you're deceiving your own heart. Say amen or oh me. That's right. If you don't bridle your tongue with God's words, you're deceiving your own heart. your own heart. That's your production center. That's the birth canal. That's the conception center. And thoughts, desires, and intentions will be rooted in deception. If you look at the word and don't do it, you'll be deceived. Matthew 12, verse 37, Jesus said this, "For by your words, not by your actions, not by your failures, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." You know, you think, well, is God going to condemn me because I said that, did this, did that, that, you know? No, he's not. He's not a condemner. By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. Now, that doesn't mean eternal damnation for a Christian. But you will suffer under guilt and condemnation if you're speaking words against yourself. Say, I'll never amount to anything. Everything I do, I mean, no matter what I do, I'm always guilty of something. Those words don't agree with God. You're a new creation. You're a son of the living God. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. And you have him living in your very midst. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might stand against all the wiles of the devil. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. You are snared by the what? By the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. When someone has a recurring disease, migraine, whatever it is, a recurring thing, that's a snare. How did it get there? You felt something and said, I have this ache. I have this pain. I don't feel good. It's getting hard for me to see. You're confessing your own doom. You're prophesying your own downfall. Because the words doesn't even deal with you as a sick trying to get healed. He calls you the healed. Yeah, amen. Yes. See yourself as God sees you. See what God sees. You are snared. Snared. You know that word Hebrew is lokad. You might say just locked up. You're locked up by the words of your own mouth. Captured, frozen, paralyzed, or stuck together. Stuck together with what? With your problems that you've confessed out of your own mouth. That you made bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, because the more you said it, the bigger they became. But you always have the advantage to say what God says about you and let God's healing, get God's deliverance, and you get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And let it grow exponentially. Let it multiply in you. Let him multiply grace and peace in you so that your body will start to... Beloved, and talk about proportion and authority. You'll have as much authority as you submit to. It's the same with healing. Beloved, and prosperity. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Speak to your soul. Speak the word of God to your soul, to your mind, to your emotions, and let them, make them submit to the truth. Those are snares. Accidents, calamities. Oh, I'm just accident prone. Really? That's a snare. It's got a neon light. Just snare, snare, snare. Well, you know, it's just... When someone has a recurring cycle of negative thoughts, whether they be lusts, self-doubt, negativity, depression, defeat, thoughts of superiority and rooted in pride, either or. Snares, all snares. They'll create cycles, patterns in your life that'll put you in bondage. Just as much as alcohol, cigarettes, pornography, addictions, all kinds of things. Those are snares. How did they get there? You spoke and said, I like that. I like that. That's for me. Don't. It's just as easy to believe God and speak God's word as it is to receive this world's word and adapt to the world. But it's far more better. Alcohol is a snare. Cigarettes are a snare. If you're stuck on any of those things, ask God to deliver you from those, and He will. But you have a part in that. You need to renew your mind. Agree with the Word of God. Start speaking the Word of God, and don't speak the words of the enemy. You're snared by the words of your own mouth. You're taken by the words of your own mouth. Say, how did I get that way? You're just like God. You spoke it into existence in your life. You agreed with the words of the devil. And I'm not saying you did this. I'm just saying as a whole. Psalm 119:105 says this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. There's nothing dark about God. His word is a lamp. It's a beacon. It's a floodlight. And His word is a lamp, is a light unto your path. QAnon is not a lamp unto your feet. It's a snare for your feet. I think I'm getting into somebody's grill here about QAnon.
What is QAnon?
That's good. Just keep it right there. That's good. I'm just going to end with this. Go to Mark 11. And we're going to look at some scriptures that Kenneth Hagin wrote. Oh! Verse 21 says, and Peter, calling into remembrance, said, Master, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Look at this verse. Not with religious eyes. But look at what it's saying here. We don't want to read any other meanings other than what Jesus said here. If you say, well, that was Jesus. He can curse the tree. No. Whosoever shall say and not doubt, but believe what he says, he will have what he says. He won't have what he prays. He won't have what he thinks. He'll have what he says. Words that agree with God will bring the blessing and power of God and establish you in his power, in his authority, in his blessing. And the fount of healing, the fount of wisdom will always be available to you, always be open to you. Declare it. Whosoever shall say and not doubt, but believe, will have. Is that good? Is that good? Whosoever shall say and believe, not doubt, will have. What will he have? Whatever he says. If your desires are received from God, he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because you meditate on him. Your heart is filled with him. You'll be speaking what he has spoken. And you'll live the life that he's given you. And you'll walk in the plans that he has for you. And you'll fulfill the purpose for your life. It's simple. It's not complicated. Now, am I saying that it's easy all the time to do it? No, because this world is filled with what? Snares. We need to flee. Just like Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. It says he fled. He left her holding his robe. I mean, he was out of there. That's what we need to do when a temptation comes. When people start wanting you to agree with them, think about how much edge you're losing. the edge on your two-edged sword, you don't want that dull. You need it sharp, just taking it out. The devil doesn't want to get ripped with that. It's a spiritual, powerful weapon, and it needs a sharp edge. Say this, I'm sharp. I'm not dull. I'm quick. I'm not slow. I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God. Jesus is made unto me. Righteousness, redemption, wisdom, and power. I walk in him. And he walks in me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus is on the throne, ready for you to sit with him.